The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for pro wrestling, and that, of course, means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I am your host for the evening, the five-star man, Asa Gray. Joining me at this time, as always, is the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And it is another... It's been 2 weeks, because so for those of you who don't know, last week we didn't do a show because pretty much my entire city went out of internet. Like, we didn't have internet until, what, like 8:30, 9 o'clock?
It was right before the Nick Gage match, so I think it was 8:30.
Yeah, so it was, which was funny because it went down in the morning. I noticed that we didn't have internet at my house before I left for work, and I have to get to work at 8, so I left around like 7:40. And then we didn't have internet all day at the office. We had customers come in, like, no one said they had internet, and then... it wasn't until like 7:30 at night we got a text message from Spectrum being like, hey, just so you know, you're in an internet outage. It probably won't be fixed for another 2 hours. It's just like, oh, you don't say. I was so, especially after spending all day looking at the website for updates, and they're like, yeah, you might have interruption in your TV service or your phone service. But for whatever reason, they just didn't mention internet. But so that's why we didn't do a show last week, is because we couldn't actually like
record.
I mean, we could have done it via like phone net, like off of our phones or something. But I was just like, eh, whatever. So, and then there was the week of wrestling that we had. So we got plenty to talk about. But jumping into things right away, obviously one of the biggest things we would have talked about last week that we didn't get a chance to is in the hashtag trial of Faye, or hashtag Faye trial, Faye Jackson found innocent on all charges in one of the most egregious examples of
justice.
Clearly a guilty person walking free. There's a specific word that I was looking for that I don't know what's happening, but very, very disappointing showing. That said, one of the most things I've ever seen. Like, one of the most fun things I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, that was legitimately entertaining. The amount of people I was texting in the middle of it, of just stupid shit that was said.
I was telling, I don't know if it was Lee or who, I was talking about it with someone this past weekend, and it's equal parts heartbreaking, but good that it's not recorded and you can't actually like watch it now, like after the fact. The fact that you had to be there, you had to be there live, you had to be switching spaces constantly because
they kept breaking
Sean Ross Sapp. I thought Sean Ross Sapp said it best, of just like, are you guys running this on Peacock? What's going on? Because this was, of course, after Money in the Bank, where the Peacock stream crapped the bed for like 10 minutes. But no, it was an absolute blast. In my opinion, the biggest star of it was AJ Gray.
Oh no, that's very agreed upon that he came out looking the best out of that whole
on his burner account, which is literally called AJ's burner. I don't know why that was so funny. Instead of using his main account, he had so many great quotes. Like, really everyone did. Everyone involved in it. From Shug Dunkerton, Faye Jackson, Tasha Steeles, Big Swole, the surprise, the witnesses that they called all did really, really well. And then, like, there was a really oddly heartwarming moment when D'Lo Brown showed up and was just, like, talking about how... Because, also worth noting, this was the same day that the CM Punk news broke.
Yeah.
That was trending number two in the country. The trial of Faye was trending number one in the United States for a while. So, it was incredible. Props to everybody involved. Now they keep throwing out, like Tom's Customs keeps putting up oh, the trial of Lee Moriarty and stuff like that. So they want to do more with it, but this made me want to see AJ Gray wrestle everybody. I'm the bailiff, I'll whoop your ass.
You should have before, because AJ Gray is fucking phenomenal. But like, yeah, no.
Oh no, I was aware of that. Like, yeah, I was very disappointed that he couldn't make it to WrestleMax on Friday, because that was one of those matches, because it was supposed to be him versus Jake Something. And it's just like, and don't get me wrong, like, I got to see Jake Something versus Baracus, which was super cool in its own right, but not getting to see AJ live for the first time was a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah. It was so many good lines. Why are there so many check marks in here? Which, because there was a lot of verified people like Xavier Woods. D'Lo Brown had the check mark. There was a handful of people.
Oh yeah. Because I was curious how, because it looked like the way Spaces shows you like who else is in there, which granted, like they had a ton of people in there. There's like 900 people, over 1,000 at a certain point, I think. But it's like, okay, so first it will show you mutuals.
Yeah.
Then it will show you who you're following, but in order. So, but like, if you're following verified people, it shows them first.
Yeah.
And then the rest of us are lower tier, and then it goes into just like random people in the room. So yeah, so it's like seeing, and what was amazing is every single time, because it was like 3 or 4 times the Spaces crashed and they had to start a new one. What I thought was hilarious is every single time I got into the new one, Xavier Woods was already there.
Yeah.
Like, he had to have been one of the first people in each of these groups. He beat, like, the people who were supposed to be part of it.
He probably had to tell Big E what was going on.
Well, so Big E actually tweeted about it.
This is all Big E's fault. He slept
through it.
Of course he did. Which was good, because if he would have been live in there, he would have gotten called up whether he wanted to be or not.
Yeah. Well, and also, just for the record, no, it was not Big E's fault. This was all Faye Jackson's fault.
That's so true. He didn't have to go and win the Money in the Bank. Yeah. That's on him. That's on Big E. Who tweeted at me today?
I just wanted to... Because you paid money.
That's fine. It counts. It counts.
I will say, though, the funniest part of it was all of it, really. But I just wanted to mention that, because it's definitely something. We talked about it the last show we did, and I definitely wanted to bring that up. Because also just, like, the fact that they got to trending number one off of this, like, bullshit Creep Squad versus Wholesome Gang feud evolved to them trending number one on Twitter, which was just incredible, and I want to see more of it, and I love it. I love it very much. But there is a whole lot that happened this week. There will be some other stuff that happened last week that we'll talk about, but shifting gears and tone completely, on Saturday morning, probably one of the most shocking things that we've talked about in a while was that WWE announces that Bray Wyatt has been released from his WWE contract, seemingly coming out of nowhere. And the reason that he was given, which has been reported by Meltzer and apparently has been corroborated with people within like other wrestlers at WWE, he was given budget reasons, which I don't understand, because me and you talked about this a lot over the since it happened on Saturday. And one of the things that we mentioned was like, so we kind of had that sense of nobody really is safe after Strowman and
Aleister Black. I mean, Joe came back, but it's important to note that Joe was released. Like, they were getting rid of a lot of marquee names.
His was the most shocking of that cycle, I think, outside of maybe the Iconics, but he wasn't actively wrestling. Yeah. Like, granted, he had just called WrestleMania as a commentator, but he wasn't, like, actively in the ring, and there was the whole, when is he coming back? Is he ever going to come back? Is he, like, what's going on there? Strowman literally just wrestled Shane McMahon on WrestleMania, and Aleister Black, now Malakai Black, of course, Tommy End, he literally was being built up and had vignettes aired and just kicked Big E in the face to set up a seemingly a program there.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, okay, so the, really anybody, is, you know, is on the table. But with Bray Wyatt, I don't understand how you can cite budget reasons when he's someone whose merch alone does amazing numbers, like between toys and masks and that terrible title belt that was like $7,000 that, you know, at least one person bought.
I'm in a group with one of them, by the way.
Yeah. apparently he dumped a lot of his own money into that. The mask that he wears, like, he is the one who commissioned Tom Savini to do that. That wasn't a WWE investment.
Yeah.
So I don't, none of this makes sense. So the last time that we saw Bray Wyatt was at WrestleMania. Well, I guess it was the Raw after WrestleMania where he did the Firefly Funhouse. Maybe it's the Raw. Was that the Raw before? I thought it was the Raw.
I don't think we've seen him since Mania.
Okay. So I might be thinking of the Raw before WrestleMania, but he wrestled Randy Orton in that feud that was like lasted forever. Alexa Bliss did the thing where she turned on him or distracted him that let Orton pin Wyatt. And then that was the last we saw. That was definitely the last we saw of the Fiend. And then he was off TV. Other reports are coming out that he had been medically cleared. He was under the impression that he was going to come back around this time. He was going to come back in August to potentially set up something for SummerSlam. But now he is just no longer with the company. And again, they're citing budget reasons as they're reporting absolutely record numbers.
Yeah. And I was hearing reports that this also could be due to the whole Braun Strowman effect of he negotiated too good of a contract for himself. That, like, yeah, he did sign like a multi-million dollar contract, and then that's the number one shitty thing about all this. And this is like, and I'll even, like, I don't defend Braun Strowman in a lot of the whole, like, light of last year saying just try not to be poor comments, but like, mm-hmm, I feel bad that he got punished for being too good at negotiating. It's the same thing with Bray Wyatt. They shouldn't be penalized because WWE threw too much money out of them and it's not guaranteed. Their contracts mean dick. Like, we have very much seen that their contracts mean absolute shit.
Like, on the WWE side, the talent side, you're not going to get out of those.
Yeah.
WWE's not just going to release you out of it if you ask. Like, you have to go public and kind of make a spectacle of it to even get that conversation going. And we've seen them ignore even that. Like, nope, still no.
Yeah, the Luke Harper asking for his release and just keeping adding time to his contract and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but at the end of the day, they don't mean anything because they're independent contractors. It's not like a fucking sports team. If somebody wants their release, you can ask for a trade. But if you're not getting that, you're either playing or you're sitting out. You have those two options. And if you sit out, like, you can get penalized for that too. Like, at WWE, like, you can choose to sit out, but then they can release you tomorrow. And then you're just out all that money you signed to. Let me backtrack because I'm getting angry. They signed and you signed for you to make. But they can fucking back out whenever they want. That's why I'm like, they mean absolute shit. You can.
And then in 90 days, you get nothing.
Yeah, like, that's, it has to be illegal. Like, it's not, but it fucking should be.
You're a split second away from becoming the Jesse Pinkman. He can't keep getting away with this.
Yeah, I really am, because it's so fucking frustrating of, all right, cool, you signed me to a $2 million contract this year. That means I am, by the fucking end of this contract, I should make $2 million. And you can start paying me. But you can say it 2 months in, hey, we're letting you go. So if it was a sports team, they would have to fucking pay you the rest of that $2 million. WWE is just like, I mean, we'll support you for those 90 days. And after that, you're SOL. But you're not going to get, in those 90 days, you're not getting that $2 million. Or the rest of that $2 million. Right. You're going to get whatever you're owed at that time. And it's so, and that's what's the frustrating part of it. It's, You are literally, your mouth are signing checks your ass can't cash. That's what's going on with WWE, and it's so fucking frustrating because we have these amazing, like, and with Bray, it's probably the most frustrating because you have somebody that literally is printing them money right now. and they gave his gimmick to somebody that it was not their idea, and they're still fucking going with it. So this whole Fiend gimmick is still being used without being used, and Bray don't own any of that. Bray doesn't own Bray Wyatt. I'm gonna start. I can't think of his first name, but Rotunda don't own that. Like, Wyndham. Oh, Wyndham. My bad. Who's Rotunda?
It is Wyndham Rotunda. Wyndham Rotunda.
My bad. But like Wyndham, thank you. That sounds right. But like, he don't own any of that. He don't own the Fiend. He might be able to get a mask in that design. Is it Wyndham Rotunda?
Yes.
All right. Cool. I saw. I saw a bright light, and I was like, "You just checked, and I need to know if you were right."
Yeah, I needed to double check because my brain went to like Barry Wyndham.
Yeah, because that's
or
his
not Barry because
uncle.
That's well, it was. Uncle? I think so. Yeah, which is probably where he got the first name. It was just the like. Oh wait, hang on. That's Wyndham is usually a last name when I think about it, but that's where the confusion went.
Because I was legit being like, but his last name is Rotunda. I know that for a fact. Because yes. It's yeah. All right.
Yes. I'm, no, that one is for sure.
We're insane here at PW, but like. This dude has only given Husky Harris aside, but I don't think that was a Wyndham call. Like Bray was him and Dusty Rhodes at the Performance Center. He doesn't own that anymore. The Fiend was him. That was just fucking what he came up with, mm-hmm. And that's not his anymore. Now, granted, like the Fiend is a very open-ended fucking thing, and you can take that on the indies, or you can take Firefly House Bray. And take that on the indies, and there's really nothing WWE can do. You can't call yourself Bray or use the words Firefly Funhouse, but you can use that gimmick. You can't use the word Fiend, I'm going to put money on, or you might not be able to use the Fiend Bray Wyatt, because I don't know how you can trademark Fiend, because it's a weird-ass word.
Sean Ross Sapp did a video, like, right as it happened, where he was kind of going over some stuff and answering questions. Like, really, he was just reading people's reactions to it, but he did mention a couple times, like, okay, so we're seeing, like, so WWE owns Bray Wyatt, but he could, if he chose to, because, again, it's worth noting, we don't know if he's going to continue wrestling. We don't, you know, there's no, we're not going to speculate on his mental health thing, because that initial Billy Body report was reckless and bullshit that he would ever post in general. But it's, you know, maybe he doesn't want to keep wrestling. Maybe he wants to take time away. You know, he may not jump directly into stuff. So, but he was talking, so say he goes somewhere else, while he can't do Bray Wyatt, he could use either, you know, something with Bray or something with Wyatt. So, and do that. The Fiend, I don't know how that trademark would work because like, on the one hand, it is very broad, and so, like, certain things you can't trademark, just be like, no, this is a very common word, you can't just trademark that, but at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if they had that. I think you're right about Firefly Funhouse as well, but I did read that song that they used for the actual, like, Firefly Funhouse song, mm-hmm. That is just public domain. That's not specific. That wasn't something WWE made or he made. That is a public domain song, like how It's Always Sunny uses just that free music because it's free.
The Hardy Boys' music. Anybody can come out to that fucking music and can't get copyrighted for it.
Really?
Yep. The da 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 da. Like the original?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know the song you're talking
about. Yeah, anybody can fucking use that. That's public domain music.
That's neat. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of commercials and shit that use it too. That's how I know. It's not an exclusively WWE-owned song, at least. You might have to pay rights for it, but it's public. Anybody can fucking use it.
Also, the music he used for his entrance, that was Code Orange? Is that the name of the band?
It wasn't originally Code Orange, because Code Orange did the cover of the Mark Crozier song.
That's right. Okay, but it was Code Orange's who performed his newest song.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure I had the name.
Which
right.
is, like I they, said, is just a cover of Mark Crozier. I think it's Mark Crozier. Yeah. That sounds correct to my head.
Yeah, because he did, you know, Broken Down in Love. And then, yeah, it's a cover of that song with added stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Put in with, like, the Hurt Heel, stuff like that. But they also, like, they were on Twitter and mentioned, like, the next one's on us. So it seems like, because apparently those, like, he's friends with the people in the band. Like, he's the one that got them to agree to do, like, he was the one that reached out to them about doing his new music.
Yeah.
Like, that was something that he set up. That wasn't a WWE decision.
And it's
on the one hand, it's really cool to see the amount of, like, creativity and effort and how much he did own that character. And also the amount of goodwill he has with not just the fans, but with these other people, these creative people that he has worked with. So that, like, that's really, really cool. And I think, you know, wherever he does decide to go, again, we've said this about almost every release they've done in the last year, these are people who are going to be an asset. Like, he's someone who absolutely, especially when given the creative freedom to kind of do his own thing. That said, part of it, I don't want to see him go directly back into The Fiend. I don't want to see him go directly back. I kind of want to see him do something new, because part of that is it did help having the production value that really only WWE can do at this point. I don't mean that as a slight to AEW, but like, their cinematic matches have all been relatively grounded. Like, look at the Stadium Stampede, yeah. Look at stuff like that. I don't know how they would do with like that supernatural slant to it. And I also just don't think right now Impact or ROH or even like something like New, like, he's another person that I think would be fascinating in New Japan.
Yeah. I
don't think that they would be able to do that kind of spooky, like, if he reverted back to what I think personally is my favorite version of Bray Wyatt, which would be Swamp Cult Leader.
It's the best version.
Yeah, something more grounded. Like, I think he would really, really excel there other places. But I think WWE is really the one company that was perfectly suited for, and especially during the pandemic era where the, you know, the empty arena shows where they could edit around stuff.
Yeah.
That is where that The Fiend really could thrive. Like, you're not going to be able to do a body swap, burn a dummy
anywhere
type
else.
Thing with a crowd there, or yeah, anywhere else in general.
And like, man, I'm very 50-50 on the AEW. That's where I want to see him go. And if you, like, Cody did a statement or was, like, talking about him and very much gave...
He was on an investor call.
Thank you.
And he mentioned ahead of time that he was not going to be answering questions about rumors, which were more specifically, I think, about Punk and Brian.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, but Danielson.
But, like, and I don't think it was in this investor's call, but he was talking about Rotunda in, like, long form, and it was just like, I can't speak for the company, but when you see somebody... That was the call? Okay.
Yeah.
It was like, when you see somebody this creative and, like, this creative and this, like, able to do things like that, obviously it's something that we would look at, but as a company, it's not something I can't speak
right.
for that. And it's one of those where we're like, man, I really want him to go there because I think that would probably be his best... If you're going to do the wild shit, AEW is your best bet. If you're not going to re-sign with WWE, if they're not going to throw a new contract on the table, your best bet would be AEW, because I think they're the only other company that would be able to get close. And I said close for a reason. But because, right. like, Hardy, and it's super important to note that WWE didn't fucking co-opt this whole cinematic spooky shit. That was Matt Hardy. It was Impact, but, like, Matt Hardy did all that shit himself. So in my head, if Matt Hardy can do it, Bray Wyatt could do it. The characters aren't similar, but I feel like the creative minds are. But you'd have to get a company that'd be willing to back that. Impact, I mean, has proven that they're cool with doing it before. But I would love to see AEW, but keep him as far away from the Dark Order as humanly possible.
Yeah, that was the thing of just, like, anytime someone's released, like, it's always, oh, but, you know, do the Dark Order. And, like, this one at least has the Brody connection. Like,
yeah.
I will give the benefit of the doubt there, but I also don't want to see the Dark Order get a new leader. I think
yeah.
Evil Uno is now the leader, and we need to leave with that. Especially because, like, look at what the Dark Order started as, and when he, what the Dark Order started as, and what the Dark Order is now, and then, like, also when Brody was introduced. You don't need to turn him heel. You don't need to make him the scary, evil people anymore. Like, also, like, getting to the story we're going to talk to you here in a minute, John Silver immediately, like, Adam Cole should be the new leader of the Dark Order. Like, just, like, not everybody needs to be injected in that. But like I said, like, if this is the only one, like, I think we talked about it on the show of just, like, you know, Aleister Black has that vibe, that aesthetic, we'll say, that could fit in, but not something that we need to see. Same thing with, like, Braun Strowman, like, also with the Brody vibe and all of that.
The only reason
not Brody vibe, Brody connection, sorry.
Yeah, so the only good thing about Bray is that if they were like, hey, we're going to do this, you're going to lead it, we need you to know that they're whole comedy. I'm willing to say he would be like, bet, let's do it.
Oh, he would. He could. Like, he's someone who I have no doubt would be able to just, like, because roll with it and some also of those... fit in with what the Dark Order is now.
Because if you watch that Firefly Funhouse match, some of that shit is legitimately the funniest things I think I've ever seen in wrestling, and most of it is Bray just being weird. I think he could do it. I don't know. It's one of those things that it wouldn't be disrespectful to Brody at all. I just don't think I want to see it because Brody was so good at being serious yet funny at the same time that I don't think anybody else can do what he did. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, he was super serious the entire time, but God damn it, Brody Lee was the funniest thing on Being the Elite for a long time. And he was never funny. The only time he was funny is whenever Sue fucked up the paper throw. And it's because, and he didn't, he wasn't even being funny. He just cracked. But, like, I don't think anybody else could do that with those guys.
Oh,
go ahead.
I was going to say, just because he also, like, he was abusive to them. Like, Brody was very, very abusive to the Dark Order. That, like, his character. Obviously, we're talking about his character.
Yeah. Brody Lee, the person, was loving, but the character Brody Lee was a motherfucker.
Also, I did verify Bray Wyatt. There was a Firefly Funhouse the night after WrestleMania.
Really? I know that Alexa did something, but I don't remember Bray. I mean, I'm going to take your word for it, but because I'm not looking at it.
No, he did because he basically was doing almost like a temporary like sign off to the Firefly Funhouse, and now people are like, wow, this is really weird that this is the last thing you did on TV, and then you get released because like it was almost him saying goodbye. But it happened in April. Going all the way back though, like, yeah, Brody, it was funny to see the Dark Order kind of react around him and to see his treatment of them, but it was never like, but also, that was mostly on Being the Elite. Like, the funniest parts of it were on BTE. Him on TV was always just, like, commanding and a dick to them and, like, and dominant and scary. So, like, a lot of those comedy bits didn't really come through if you only watched the television product, so.
Which I forget.
Also,
not
just real
does.
Quick, because I keep forgetting to mention this. I know people listening to this are aware because y'all are cool. Alexa Bliss had nothing to do with this.
Oh,
Alexa Bliss having to lock her Twitter because she was catching so much abuse because of people blaming her for stealing his gimmick and all of this. She is an actor playing a role that was put upon her. She had nothing to do with his release. Like, she actually put out a really heartfelt thing that, like, when she was whenever he got released, of like what he meant to her and how surprised she was. You know, leave her alone. Because this has nothing, she had nothing to do with it. It's not her fault that they decided they wanted to shift directions with the Fiend and give her all the Lily and all of that stuff. Like, seeing that really pissed me off. Like, I hated that.
Yeah, and I'm going to second what you said. Fuck those people. Fuck those people so fucking hard. I know I mentioned it earlier. I am frustrated with WWE in that sense because, again, I'm all for people making money. I've made it very clear on this show that anytime a worker gets paid, I'm happy. She gets paid to do that. That was WWE's call. If you were going after her, and again, you're not listening to this show. If you are, I've already done told you to fuck yourself. I'll say it again. But yeah, no, like, she did absolutely nothing wrong in this whole situation. WWE's the assholes, not her. So if you're coming after her, if you went after her over this and you're listening, do me a big favor, unsubscribe, fuck off. Because
we don't want you.
You're bad people. You're bad, bad people. She did, like, there's actual shitty people in wrestling to be shitty to. Austin Aries exists. Go after him. The referee fuck. Well, not referee anymore, but that guy.
Yeah,
go after him. But, like, don't go after somebody that's legitimately totally innocent in this whole thing. It's so fucking frustrating. So frustrating that people were doing that. I'm not surprised. I wish I could say I was shocked, but I'm not.
Yeah, no. I just wanted to point that out because it is bullshit that she's getting so much unwanted she's just getting so much harassment over something she had no control over.
Figure out who wrote it and be mean to them. They were the dumbass, not her.
So I want to ask you one thing, because you sent me a picture earlier today about just an astonishingly bad take about the crowd reaction, but instead of giving that person a spotlight, something I thought was more interesting. So every Saturday, now 2.0 is who they wrestle as on AEW now, making their debut, by the way, friend of the show. They have on their YouTube channel, this show, the show Rules, on Saturdays, they do a live podcast recording. And basically, they went live like 30 minutes after the news broke. And so they spent quite a bit of time talking about it. And some, I think the host and like other people, they were kind of like saying, you know, Bray never really got a full fair shake. And I think it was Matt. I feel bad that I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure it was Matt said like he didn't agree with that at all because he was a multiple time world champion. He was at WrestleMania. He was always given a spotlight. But then the host and I think Jeff too also was kind of like, yeah, but like the start and stop of it all is why people are kind of regarding that. He's like, yeah, but that's everybody. Where do you land on that? Do you think Bray Wyatt was legit, was given like a full, you know, he was used to the best of his ability, or do you think that there was more they should have let him do?
I think there was more they should have let him do. He was very much a person that made everybody, in basketball, he was Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson was a great point guard, not because he could put up 80 points a game. Magic Johnson was one of the best point guards of all time because he made every fucker around him better. That's what Bray Wyatt did. He made everybody around him better. He made Roman better. He made Brody Lee better. He made Strowman better. I mean, he was so good that they were putting random people with him like Strowman and Alexa Bliss to elevate them. Not saying Alexa Bliss needed it. Braun, it helped him out a whole lot, but Alexa definitely didn't need it. But it bolstered, it made that character more now. And that's what Bray gave to the table. And you have a guy, you have a point guard like that that just makes everybody fucking better around him. And you don't do anything with him. I'm sorry. Yes, he is a multiple-time world champion. But what did they do with him in that time? He lost to
Goldberg.
Lost to Goldberg, lost to Orton. Those two guys didn't need it. Bray needed those wins. And you look at that, Bray needed those wins and never got them. What was the first win Bray needed that he didn't get?
Cena.
Thank you. That's how I know that he was not used to the best of his ability, because it took you like that. He got his win back in the steel cage because some little creepy fucking kid started singing he's got the whole world in his hands. That was how Bray got his heat back after that WrestleMania loss. And I get that you have to build up a big bad guy to like...
Someone has to beat the bad guy.
Somebody has to beat the bad guy, but the bad guy got beat so fast every time. Yes, Bray would win that world champion, but Bray didn't never had a long championship run. Bray Wyatt never had a Seth Rollins... Oh. Sorry.
We're bad at this. The good guys that beat him also had already beaten so many other bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, you look at... It's Goldberg, Cena, and Orton. I think it would have meant a lot more, you know, and I think people would have been more okay with those losses, even if they happened in the same time frame. Like, imagine if what we talked about where, okay, so Wyatt wins the title at Elimination Chamber to immediately set up a match with Orton. How excited we let ourselves get because we thought they might add Harper into that main event. Now imagine if instead of Orton beating Wyatt, imagine it was a triple threat and Luke Harper's the one that beat Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
You think anybody would be complaining about that? Absolutely not.
No. Nobody would have complained about it at the time, no. But I would still be saying his championship runs were super fucking small. Like,
yeah.
He's Rusev with a couple of world title wins. How many fucking times? We've had the same conversation about Rusev. Never got a true fair shake. The only difference is, I mean, he's getting it now. Thank God, because the man fucking deserves it. But like, you have Bray Wyatt, who is one of the most, again, point guard, just made every, he passed that ball to everybody, made sure everybody got over around him. Remember how scary, like, remember when we were first becoming friends? And the only thing in wrestling we liked talking about were Sami Zayn and the Wyatt family. That was it. That's all we fucking liked to talk about was how fucking cool Bray Wyatt was. And then we were super excited because they started fucking up Kane and like how cool it was. Yeah, again, Bray got himself and other people around him over. That's how good he was. And they used that fact a lot. They used Bray to get a lot of people over. They just never spent the time to make sure Bray got over and stayed over. The fucking beach ball comment irritated the shit out of me, because the reason those comments happened, because it's not because we didn't care about Bray. It's because WWE didn't let us care about Bray. That's why I wanted to say fuck her, that person, sorry, is because it wasn't his fault that WWE never wanted to truly utilize him. That Fiend character should have been a world champion for 8 months tops, but instead Roman came out, beat the shit out of him and Braun, and just took the belt.
Yeah. Also, it's worth pointing out too, like, they did such a good job of mishandling him that he had to reinvent himself two separate times. Because, okay, you have cult swamp leader Bray Wyatt, who's incredible. And yep. That, like I said, I loved the entirety of his run. Granted, we've talked about The Fiend and how I didn't super enjoy some of the matches and like some of the things that it led to characters around him doing, like the people he was feuding with. But overall, like the Firefly Funhouse stuff was some of my favorite stuff they've done in a very long time. You have Swamp Leader Wyatt, who, okay, loses steam and then he gets to the big losses and never gets the win. Or like he never gets the big title win. So then he kind of transitions into Eater of Worlds Bray Wyatt, who could have been the new big, bad, evil force of just like, okay, you want to use supernatural, you want to add supernatural stuff to it. Cool. Let's see where this goes. Okay, well, yeah, he gets the win, but like Cena takes him out, but then he gets that win back, and that's when he does get the world title for the first time. Well, then you get, and then, okay, well, we kind of dropped the ball with that when Orton beats him, and then just that kind of fit, and then the whole Strowman thing,
the swamp match. It was a swamp match.
Yeah, the swamp fight. Yeah, whatever. Like that. Okay, that was a low point for sure. And then he comes back with Firefly Funhouse Bray and The Fiend. And holy shit, it's the only thing people want to talk about because it's the coolest thing. And it's just like, and then again, same thing. Like you said, loses to Goldberg, loses to Roman, which granted, that one I don't mind as much just because it was new Roman. And this was kind of like, okay, this makes sense. But yeah, it would have made more sense if he would have gotten, and then he was immediately like shipped off to Raw, wasn't he?
I think like so, he yeah. Just,
so, you know, okay, well, let's see what happens from there. And then, you know, he gets put in that weird Orton, like Orton was feuding with Edge and then Edge gets hurt. But then Orton is in the feud with Wyatt that goes way too long. And it was just kind of messy from there. But so I agree. Like, I think he has the accolades for sure. 3-time world champion.
Asa, I need you to know that Great Khali has a world champion under his belt.
No, that's what I. That's the point. Literally the point I'm making is he has the accolades, but you can't say that the run in like itself was strong. Remember when he had to feud by himself to only to lose to the Undertaker? Like, come on. There's only so much you can do there. But that's a lot of talk about Bray Wyatt. It is shocking. It is stunning, and it absolutely sucks. But I don't know. He's someone that if he wants to continue to wrestle, he will excel. Wherever else he ends up going, they will have it that like they have a bona fide star and killer performances plus great matches ready to go. I think I also would love to see him at AEW, but he's someone who I firmly would love to see in Japan. I think he would. I think he excels in character work. And it's not as important over there. I still would like love to see him kind of inject that. I kind of just want to see people like Okada and Takahashi and the Bullet Club react to him.
Yeah, because it's one of those, they don't use a lot of character work. Like everybody has a name. It's very Michael Coley over there. But when they get a character, man, they have fun with it. Because, like, even with Jericho and that stupid Painmaker thing, which we got to see that last week, they at least made that seem like it was, like, the Demon Balor. Hell, they did it with Devitt. Like, they made that paint seem like it was something it wasn't supposed to. You get somebody that's just full-out character, New Japan would eat that shit up. Now, here's also another reason they should go to AEW, because guess what, Asa? They'll let him work with New Japan. That's all he's got to say.
Then he could also go to New Japan and they would let him work with AEW.
Yeah, I just want to
say... You got your peanut butter in my chocolate. I don't know what the point is you're trying to make.
I just want to AEW more so I can watch them more. I haven't had New Japan World in a minute.
Fair. Anyway, so moving on from there, that is not the last of the very, very surprising stories anyway.
This one makes me happy. Because
this one is very confusing for a lot of reasons, too. Apparently, Adam Cole's NXT contract has ended, and he has signed a temporary extension to go through SummerSlam. And after that, as of now, he will be a free agent. So, this is because the internal team, like, WWE was under the assumption that his contract expired sometime in 2022, early 2022, but in 2022, but in actuality, it had already expired. What the fuck? We also talked about this a little bit, and you were like, no, it makes sense with how many people they have to keep track of and blah, 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 stuff can slip through the cracks. And I need you to understand, this is a billion-dollar corporation with just teams of people whose job it is to make sure stuff like this doesn't happen. It's one thing for Austin Creed, for Xavier Woods, to not know that he was supposed to host Raw Talk because no one told him, because that slipped through the cracks. A top name on your quote-unquote third brand having his contract expire, that's not something that's fallen through the cracks. That is a foundation error that, like, you cannot buy that house. So, holy shit. From everything that I have seen so far, they have not come to a new agreement yet. But also, I've read that they have not presented him with a new contract. They are obviously going to. They are working on it. But they have not made him the official offer yet. But they are, everyone involved is very, very impressed that he has been very, very professional, because he easily could have just shown up on AEW. Like, nope, my contract's up. That's it.
It's a couple reasons I feel like that would be the case, Asa, because there's not a whole lot of chance. Like, we were just talking about WWE contracts and shit and about how they don't mean dick. I don't know. I can't imagine what it's like to be Adam Cole. And to just, you're Adam Cole for one, you're one of the most important pillars of NXT right now, and you just don't have a contract. That has to be an amazing feeling. Because not saying that he would hold up a show, not saying he is going to hold up a show, but the fact that you can just be like, hey, remember that time I didn't fuck you? Also, the exact opposite. He's just like, well, I mean, they're going to probably pay me a little bit extra right now. So if I show out for like a month and just show everybody that I'm Adam Cole, like, that's a bargaining chip. It's a thing that, like, if Cody's listening, he'll smile about this. It's a thing that every top NFL player has. They have a contract year where it's the last year of their contract. They will not negotiate until the end of the season. It's a risky move, but if you do it right, it's perfect. Whereas if you can have a good season and you can put those numbers up, if Adam Cole can have a bunch of great showings, which is Adam Cole, he will. You make that name value a little bit higher. If he goes to the end of SummerSlam, just knocks it out of the fucking park for the next 4 weeks, and then contract time, and they have to talk about a contract, he holds all the cards for right now.
Yeah. Because no, he absolutely does. Except what he needs to do, and I don't know if this is a thing you can do legally on a contract, he needs to have a non-release clause or something to where, because you're right, he can ask for the world and they will likely give it to him, but how long will they honor that contract? What, there's literally nothing stopping them from 6 months later, after giving him shit to work with and nothing to do, and be like, sorry, budget, we really got to tighten the belt here, so bye.
Yeah.
So, like, and he's thinking of that. Whenever Breeze was released, Sean Ross Sapp again put on Twitter, like, I feel like the ramifications of this will be seen in 7 months. Granted, it's been a month and a half, but he was working under the assumption that he was talking about Adam Cole. He said Adam Cole's contract was up in December. He thought it was up in December. So now it's like, okay, well, you fired one of my best friends who he continued. By the way, so now that, do you remember when Twitch really got big within the WWE roster?
Yeah, yeah. Like last year.
Because it was COVID is when it really happened. So, yeah. But we've talked about the Suites, which was Ty Dillinger at the time, Tyler Breeze, and Baron Corbin. It was the three of them started a channel together. Well, now the Suites is back because whenever they couldn't do it anymore, Dillinger just kind of let it fall off because he didn't want to do it by himself.
Yeah.
Well, now that it's the two of them again, they're doing it more, and they literally play games with Adam Cole every week on, then they co-stream. So like you can watch Tyler Breeze on Adam Cole's stream and vice versa. So, you know, that's got to be something that he's going to keep in mind of just like, hey, if you call me up to the main roster, I'm keeping my Twitch. Like, you know, stuff like that. You know, okay, well, now he can negotiate. Like, because also we now are finally getting new episodes of, like, Departee. So Breeze is back on Up, Up, Down, Down. what happens now with Cole? Can Cole also do that? Like, how is this, you know, that's got to be something that is going to be in the discussions as well. So, like, yes, you were correct. That's my very long-winded way of saying you were very, very right. He holds all the cards, but he holds all the cards in a rigged game.
Yeah.
Because WWE can take literally everything away from him and just, sorry, we're broke.
Yeah.
Don't ignore the Scrooge McDuck swimming pool of money that we're calling you from. But sorry, there's just budget cuts. You know how it is.
And that's the one good thing about 2021 is it's a rigged game, but there's other games you can play. You don't have to play Texas Hold'em anymore. You can go play.
Well, it's all about the game and how you play it.
Oh, go!
It's all about control.
Oh, I'm gonna kick.
And if you can take it.
I'm happy about Jack in the Box now. I wasn't happy about it a week ago. I'm happy you didn't get Jack in the Box. Yeah. Oh.
I made a pun about one of your favorite wrestlers of all time, and you use one of the most traumatizing experiences of my life against me like that. I hope you've enjoyed the last PWU featuring Dalton Anthony. About to go back to doing a one man show. Put this on my Twitch. I don't give a fuck.
At least the audio and video makes sense.
I don't care what point you were about to make. I'm moving on. Fuck you, Adam Cole. Although I will say, I do think he stays with WWE.
I think the fact that he was willing to be this professional about it, he was like, hey, I don't want to see a contract yet. Let me finish out SummerSlam and then we'll figure this game out.
Oh, I don't even know. I think that's just who he is as a person. Don't get me wrong. I've never met him. I don't know him as a person. But I watch a lot of his streams and I watch a lot of the YouTube videos that he's in. And there's only so much you can really, really hide doing stuff like that for that many hours a week. And he genuinely just seems like someone who is just the sweetest human being. Like, you listen to interviews, people talk about him, like, hardly anyone ever has a bad thing to say about him. So I very much think that that's just who he would be doing that, even if he's already, you know, he knows what he's doing for his first 6 months at AEW. I think he would still do that. So
it literally would not surprise me. You're absolutely right that he knows that on this day, like, all right, I'm going to, well, it's not going to be Jacksonville. They're fucking touring again, but like,
yeah.
I'm going to go see the Bucks in 3 months, but like, I'm going to finish this out because I'm in the middle of a story. I don't want to leave on a bad note.
Right.
But it's really interesting to see something like this happen. Because we've had all these problems with contracts and whatnot, and now we literally have a free agent that's working under a major company, and we don't know what's going to happen in, because it's at the end of SummerSlam, that's in 3 weeks.
Yep.
3-4 weeks. So, I mean, it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan. There's a lot of cool shit about to happen, because we have a lot of 90 days that are about to come up too, so... I'm excited. So. It's good for Adam Cole. I'm super happy again because Adam Cole has to be getting paid. If he has to sign a new WWE contract, I suggest getting a front-ended contract where you get a lot up front. There should be
a non-release of just like, nope, I'm in control of what I don't stop working for you until either this contract ends or I decide I no longer want to. And there's nothing you can do about that. He needs one of them Big Show ironclad contracts.
But for Shootski. Or a fat ass signing bonus, one of the few things.
Yeah, just something to keep him from. But again, like I said, this is not news to him. He's very, very aware of what's happening.
He ain't listening to us for advice.
No, because we're also not telling him anything new. And that is not the only news about contracts ending of the week, because Ric Flair was also released out of his WWE contract. Of course, he was not wrestling. He wasn't even appearing weekly, but he had a ongoing deal with WWE that is no longer a part of. There's been a lot of speculation and stuff coming, you know, back and forth, because if you notice, he did not get wished well in his future endeavors, in his reaction, because apparently he was so annoyed with the booking at WWE, specifically that of his daughter Charlotte, that he said that he wanted to be released from the company. And I know we were just talking about, like, AEW doesn't need to snatch up every ex-WWE talent, but I I started initially thinking that even though he just got Chavo, it would be cool to see Andrade pair with Flair on AEW. Yeah. I think that would be interesting. Although I saw someone on either Reddit or Twitter, I don't remember, that has completely changed my mind. I no longer want to see that. Instead, Ric Flair should be paired with the Wingmen. Of him trying to teach them, like, no, this is how you need to dress. No, this is how you need to act. Like, no, this is... Because basically, they're all trying to be that type of person. And then, of course, there's the Tully Blanchard Four Horsemen.
Arn Anderson's there.
Connection with Arn Anderson there in the FTR. Although, I don't know if this is true because this is not the section of wrestling online culture that I follow. But apparently, he and the other members of the Four Horsemen are not on very good terms. Due to previous stuff.
Ric Flair had an interview, not recently, I'm going to say like a year or two ago, where he was talking about, like, I just haven't talked to him.
I had also seen that apparently he was very hurt that neither of them reached out to him when Reed died.
Yeah, that was part of that. I think it was the same thing of just
So it's not that they don't necessarily like each other, just that they're, you know, they're not close at the most. So, but like I said, that internet drama is not anything of interest to me. Because you mentioned you didn't want to see him get paired up with Andrade because of what happened with AJ Styles in TNA. And my counter to that, though, is Impact has shown they know how to use legends effectively 1,000 times better than TNA ever did.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to get a Sting versus Ric Flair match. Maybe a tag match or something. Rick doesn't tag in.
Tully just wrestled Marco Stunt like 5 months ago. You don't tell me never, Asa. It's on the table at all times.
I know. I get it, but I'm willing to give AEW the benefit of the doubt. They haven't screwed us over at every turn.
That's true.
Like another company
might. Yes, I know it was a six man, but I just need you to know that Tully wasn't a match.
Right, yeah, no. Yeah, it wasn't like he was one-on-one against Marco Stunt, but it was still.
Yeah.
That is...
Interesting.
It's kind of interesting. It's kind of telling of just like...
How much people don't like being at that company. Yeah.
Yeah, like, what the fuck are you doing? Because apparently he hated that Lacey Evans storyline. Like, he did all of that stuff, so...
When you have somebody that doesn't, like, Ric Flair works at WWE, but Ric Flair doesn't work at WWE. Like, right. Ric Flair ain't having to wrestle for the company. And when you have people that aren't actively killing their bodies for you and they're saying, I don't want to be here, that has to tell you that there's some fuck shit going on, Asa. Like, there's some stuff going on that people aren't a fan of. And if people that aren't doing what they currently love don't want to be there... I feel bad for the people that actually have to do the business. Like,
yeah.
Ric Flair's been working there for 4 months, 4 or 5 months since the whole Lacey Evans thing, and he's still salty about it. That's how much morale has to be shitty at that place right now.
Oh, yeah. Listening to the show guys talk about of just like, you know, the day after they cut Strowman and Alistair and all those other people, of just like, it was like someone died. Like, you're just like, okay, so. Literally none of us are safe. Like, we just, any of one of us could go at any point. Like, what a terrible feeling that must be.
And you know,
like, I could not imagine working in an environment like that. That would be awful.
I'm gonna say, do a small side tangent. I don't know why the murder mystery episode from The Office just came into my head, but I have a feeling that it's Vince McMahon and Triple H being Michael Scott and Jim, just being like, Triple H like, we need to focus, and Vince is like, who done it, and using the crazy voice, because that's just what just went in my head.
I don't see that connection at all, but I'm just gonna roll with it and let you go.
Because
that makes no sense to me.
I'll explain it after the show,
and we were on three. Like, hell, you will. I need to get dinner. Also, need to try to get on some Red Dead. Red Dead Online is part of Game Pass, and that's what we've been playing instead of Call of Duty for like the last couple weeks, and is annoyingly fun.
Gotcha.
Anyway, moving on. Last bit of news from this week before we kind of quickly cover some stuff from last week that we would have covered. Impact Wrestling has officially aired their last live broadcast of the weekly Impact show on Twitch. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, where they were introducing the new membership tiers for YouTube, and I did not realize that they were no longer going to be airing those simultaneously on Twitch either. So that is a huge bummer, because that was my favorite. Like, I liked to watch it on Twitch. Also, I learned today that this entire time, I could have been doing an actual watch-along with Impact Wrestling, where I could have actually put their stream up on my feed and, like, watched wrestling with people. I just assumed that was a no-no, but no, turns out, so annoyed at that. But at the same time, like, maybe I shouldn't be, because now it's not something that's been taken away from me.
Yeah.
So who knows? That's how I'm choosing to look at it. That's the bright side. So now to watch Impact week to week, this does not change their Access TV deal. You can still watch it on the Impact Plus app, and apparently you will be able to watch it on YouTube. However, it starts 30 minutes later, but the trade-off is there's no ads, so it will end roughly the same time as it does on TV, so at a certain point, you will be caught up and be watching it live.
Huh.
You just have to wait 30 minutes to do that. So I'll probably try that. It's $1 a month. It's 99 cents a month for the base tier. It's $5 a month for the premium tier, whatever they call it. So I'm going to do it for $1. Like, it's worth $1 for a month to see how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I will check and see, you know, if I dig that. But and also I can double check and see if maybe I can co-stream it. Because if I can co-stream it, then tomorrow night I'll just stream Impact at 7:30.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But bummer that it's done on Twitch. But good for them. That's a cool little thing. Thunder Rosa. So going into the stuff that we talked about, that we would have talked about last week. To counteract something that I said the last show that we did, where we talked about Thunder Rosa appearing for NWA stuff and how she's a signed NWA wrestler, Thunder Rosa has officially signed with AEW.
But hey, that means that NWA almost. Empower has AEW signed talent on it.
Yeah, so, and we know that Chelsea Green is one of the people that's in there with Tootie Lynn Ramsey, Seisheen in the Empower. Oh, that was something else I saw that I meant to put on here. NWA 73 in St. Louis has sold out.
Cool.
Which is good news for them, bad news for me, because I was kind of like still half thinking about maybe going up there. I just hadn't decided yet, but that decision has been made for me. So now it might just be a trip up to see Empower the other night.
I think it's the 28th. I think we're running CCW that night.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. Ooh, that's a bad night for that. Unfortunate.
Yeah. Everybody's like running the 28th.
That's like Anarchy is running on the Friday of the first episode of Rampage.
Yup.
In Chicago, that is allegedly the CM Punk debut. That sucks for them. Although seeing Matt Jackson just lean into it with all the puns on Twitter makes my heart very.
Oh
very
God!
Happy.
The first bio off of it, which was. I don't know if the rumors are true. We just hope they can take our finish. That fucking broke me. I laughed so hard at that one.
Jovi posted something of just like, hey, because it's like, it's clobbering time. Let's try to fill the crowd. But he spelled fill, P-H-I-L. He's like, I need this show to sell out so he'll stop posting these. And I don't know them well enough to like make this joke, so I didn't. But you guys know that this is all in good fun. I wanted to respond to it and be like, wait, if selling out is going to stop these puns, I'm going to convince people to make returns. Because I want these, like, all day, all week. But obviously, there's no real good way of telling someone you don't know, like, I hope people give back tickets to your show. Because obviously I don't. Anyway, moving on. Let's see. SummerSlam, for the first time, will be shown in select movie theaters nationwide. So if you don't want to watch a Peacock stream at home, you can watch it at a movie theater surrounded by other people. That sounds like a nightmare. Although the main reason I kept this on here is because there are internal concerns that SummerSlam will be canceled in Las Vegas and that they are looking at they're preparing for a potential return to the Thunderdome. Because COVID is still very much a thing, because some dumbasses like refuse to get vaccinated and y'all stuff's getting bad again. Someone on Twitter referred to June as the free trial month of normalcy, and that made me irrationally angry.
Pretty accurate, unfortunately, and guess what? Our car didn't fucking clear for the next month. Yeah, I just saw who the governor was. I wanted to see the political party, because that is kind of a good gauge on where... this is an old Blueski, so...
Yeah.
It's looking a little not good for them.
So, SummerSlam, as of right now, they are in a mask mandate for indoor venues, so they can still have fans, but everybody will have to wear a mask. New York, however, apparently the show in Madison Square Garden, you will actually not only have to wear a mask, but you will have to show your vaccination card. Like, you will have to prove you've been inoculated.
And there's no fucking way anybody that's listening is going to use this term out loud right now, but that's not a fucking HIPAA violation. I'm just tired of hearing it.
No.
And again, there's no way you're still listening to us after the fuck you, Alexa, for being shitty to Alexa Bliss moment. Because it's a circle. That's a circle, Asa. I'm sorry. But fuck you if you say it's a HIPAA violation, because it fucking isn't. There is not a single doctor in that building that is leaking that information. I'm sorry.
They just like to say things. They just like to say things to hear themselves talk, and then, they're the ones that complain about an echo chamber, but then will just respout bullshit Tucker Carlson memes.
You made me itchy, and I had to get it out there, because it was in there. That little bug was in there, and I had to let it out.
So SummerSlam potentially shown in movie theaters, assuming it. I don't know if it's like, oh, hey, actually, we can't do it in Vegas. We got to go back to the Thunderdome. I don't know if that'll change the movie theater thing or not. But depending on what state you're in, they may not allow you back in, movie theaters, or you may have to, mask up or show a vaccination card depending on where you're at. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about that makes me very, very mad, because, dear Lord, WWE is this infuriates me. And it's good timing, though, because it's the Olympics. The Olympics are happening because we're about to get a gold medal in revisionist history. WWE and Blumhouse are working on a scripted television series based on the United States versus Vince McMahon steroid trial. And in the press release that WWE issued about this, it includes the phrase, I meant to have it pulled up, but you can look it up, you can see for yourself, that it's automatically making Vince McMahon look like a victim, which, fucking big laugh there. But also, while he's also trying to, while he has school-age children at home, they were 24 and 18.
They didn't say what kind of school.
And they're trying to act like he's got a fucking fifth grader at home worried about daddy. Like, is daddy gonna be okay? No, they were fucking adults.
I'm almost 29 and still in school. God. They ain't wrong. It's
But you know what they mean.
Yes, I do.
Any show that I call that you're on, I will call you school-age Dalton Anthony. And, if you want that to be, it's accurate at least. No. Go fuck yourself and fuck you.
I'm still...
Holy shit. The amount of mental gymnastics...
I'm still proud of your gold medal comment. I'm sorry, you were hitting for me. But yeah, no,
that's
so,
the main reason. That's honestly the main reason I wanted to tell this story, was to get that joke in. Because it's the only silver lining in this. Can you believe this? This is like O.J. Simpson, if I did it, levels of egregious. Of just like, oh my God. Oh my God.
So how happy would it make you if the Dark Side of the Ring, the good folks at Dark Side of the Ring, at the same time, we're like, all right, we're going to fucking talk about it and do a long form, not even a two-part episode. I'm talking it's fucking season 4, Asa. I just want it to all be that. And they're like, we're going to do it at the same time, so that way we can have somebody shit on them Dana Warrior did. That would be great.
Only if they title it What Actually Happened. Because, holy hell, man. The balls.
So I'm gonna be
on Vince McMahon to just be like, hey, I understand that this is all public record, and anybody within the know, because granted, you have to keep in mind, we are on the younger side of wrestling fans who would be aware of this going on. There's people that...
I know, so this is what I was trying to say a minute ago. I don't know jack shit about the steroid trial. The only thing I know about the steroid trial, and you're going to laugh at this, is that Hulk Hogan was a part of it, and that was the catalyst to their 2003 WrestleMania 19 feud.
Yes.
That's all I fucking know about the steroid trial. I can tell you it's about steroids, and I can tell you Hulk Hogan was in it.
I also forget that you're substantially younger than I am. So really, I guess I should say I am on the younger end of, like, knowing about the steroid trial. So, you know, I guess he thinks he can get away with just outright lying. Because, oh my god, this is going to be a fucking crash pad fluff piece on just bonkers stuff. So, that's that. I don't think we had any particularly... big breaking news that happened on AEW.
Congrats to the face of the GCW universe, Matt Cardona. We don't need to talk about it. I just need you to know that in the year of our Lord 2021, Zack Ryder is the fucking deathmatch company champion. And that is the most fucking wild sentence that I've heard in wrestling this year.
How? He's an ECW original.
God, I hate you. You're right. Again, how do I just forget this?
I will say I did like that. I made that joke, and then you were like, yeah, he's been saying that on his podcast for like 2 weeks. And it's like, oh, dang, I thought I was original.
Yeah, no, Matt Cardona, that actually was said during the Cody Rhodes talking about Bray. He's like, I'd have never thought that Matt Cardona would be GCW champion.
Well, yeah, no, obviously. Why would you? Who would? No one would think that would be possible.
There's a lot of shenanigans around that. If we would have had a show last week, I'm pretty sure that would probably been the bulk of it. But... that's super fucking cool. The fact that Nick Gage was on a national television and did Nick Gage shit and people are upset, crack me up because you got what you paid for. Domino's, I'm just doing a weekly roundup of last week. The Domino's thing is the best thing in the world to me.
Oh, yeah, with the dude, like, apparently, like, the WWE dude, like, planting the story about, like, to, like, almost tattling on AEW, because it's the first thing he's ever written about AEW, and everything else has just been, like, ridiculous fluff pieces about how great of a company and how successful WWE is. It's like if there was an actual, like, Fiend avatar person who, well, I guess not Fiend anymore, but...
Because we're almost done. We have like maybe a minute left before Ace is gonna hit these things. It's 8:30. I know right now I'm gonna like the second we get done, I'm gonna send this to you, and then I'm gonna switch over to Sling, so I can watch the Juventud Guerrera Chris Jericho, because I finally have a version of live TV again. Because I kind of want to see how this works. You're gonna tell me something that I'm about to watch in a minute, aren't you?
You need to watch the commercials.
Is it all Pabst Blue Ribbon? I know it's all Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com on Twitter at Sean Ross Sapp, which by the way, absolutely follow him. Actually, don't follow him, because then if we're the source for your news, like, you won't have a use for me anymore.
We're entertaining.
Like, half of what we talk about on this show, like, he's breaking.
Fuck you. We're funny.
Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, Smart Mark Sterling, Chelsea Green, and Hornswoggle in a PBR commercial during AEW Dynamite.
And you know why that is? It's because they're all PBR sponsored wrestlers.
Yes.
They're all Pabst Blue Ribbon is killing it. Because the second...
Also, apparently this is the first commercial Pabst Blue Ribbon has like ever done, or has done in like a really long ass time.
And you know why? It's the second that they heard about Domino's being like, we're going to pull out our ads from AEW. And then they tagged AEW in a tweet and said, we can talk.
Yeah.
Like, we have no fucking problem sponsoring this shit. 2021 has been the most wild year in wrestling. When we thought it was 2020 in the indoor shows, go fuck yourself. That's whatever. It's been the year of crazy shit, of how awesome wrestling fans are and how horrible wrestling fans are. And we have Zack Ryder fucking being a deathmatch company champion and Nick Gage on a national television. Like, the most wild shit in the world of wrestling has happened this year. And we got 4 months to go, baby. I'm riding this shit out high as all hell on it. Wrestling has been awesome this year.
It has been. And there's still some cool stuff coming. So, but that's going to do it for us here at Pro Wrestling Unscripted. You can get your Dalton Anthony merch at prowrestlingtees.com/Dalton Anthony. I got that one right.
There's a promo code.
Have you put up the pwtees.com shirt yet?
Not yet. I'm working on it. If you use if you're listening to this by the 7th, 1 p.m. Eastern, if you use promo code Summertime, they'll take 20% off that order. So buy me a shirt. Buy yourself one of my shirts. Or you can buy me a shirt, too. I just realized I said that backwards. I might buy me a shirt. But also, if you're buying a Dalton Anthony shirt, get yourself a Big Lee's World shirt. Get yourself a fucking Cash Borden shirt. There's a lot of people that I love that have pro wrestling tee stores that you need to buy shirts from. Those are just the first two that came off the top of my head is Cash and Big Lee.
There's others, though. We know there's others.
There's definitely others, yeah.
And if we went through, that would be the whole show of just going through our friends that have pro wrestling t-shirts stores, yeah. And then, of course, twitch.tv/the5starman. Depending on how this YouTube thing works out, maybe I will co-stream Impact and we can watch that and hang out. So, but until next time, thank you all very, very much. We will be back tomorrow with PZ85 AD and then Horse Time and then Nerd Up slash Hype Train on Monday, because that is the week we're in rotation, I believe. And then everything starts all over again. So thank you all so much for joining us tonight. We hope you have a great week. Stay safe, be careful, and get vaccinated.